Smith Sabatino here, Roland Smith with Carl Sabatino. And Carl, our guest in this particular segment is Dr. Joseph Marr. He is a retired academic physician and pharmaceutical and biotechnology executive. He earned his bachelor's degree in biology at Xavier University in Ohio and his medical degree from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Dr. Marr is the author of more than 200 academic publications. Now, his latest book is called Fall from Grace. It's a physician's retrospective on the past 50 years of medicine and the impact of social change. And then part of the publicity on this book, it says that the book investigates the social revolution of those times, the scientific and technological advances that occurred, the influence of the computer digital revolution, you know, and so many other things. Anyway, welcome, Dr. Marr, to Smith Sabatino.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And ours in particular. What was the genesis of putting this book together for you?
Well, that's interesting that you ask. As one passes on through life, one tends to look back and ask, why did this happen or why did that happen? And as where I am now, I look at medicine and I think about it the way it was when I started into it. I never wanted to do anything but go into medicine. And at the time, the physician, back now, this is in the 50s and early 60s, the physician was still the shaman, the healer, a person well-respected in the community. And opinions were sought not just on medicine but on other things as well. And if you look around today, you'll find that it's quite different. The physician is no longer running medicine, if you will, or in charge of it, but is more of a manager of the healthcare team, and medicine's being run by corporations. And I asked myself, and just how did this happen? How could this have ever come about? And then I began to look back through time and look at the various events that had occurred, and there is a thread there, and the thread is the social change, and what happened to medicine is only one aspect of the social change. So that's how it came to be.
What kind of a grade would you give medicine today compared to when you first went in?
Grade. If you were to grade the physicians and what physicians want to do and their aspirations, the grade remains A. However, if you grade medicine and the way it's practiced and the patient satisfaction, the grade has to be a C or a C minus.
That's an interesting distinction, yeah, between the two.
Dr. Marr, it's Carl Sabatino here. The question I have is, do you believe that the social change that has taken place in the care and in medicine overall has got to do with the fact that we're dealing with far more geriatric medicine over the course of the last 25 years in this country, or is that just a misnomer?
I think not yet. The bulge in geriatric medicine is beginning now, and will swell, as you know, as the baby boomers pass through. And in fact, I'm putting together some notes on an article about that now, because older people have more aches and pains, as you know. Some are serious, some are not, but they also have chronic disease, which tends to get worse over time, and they will occupy much more of the healthcare system over the next 15 years. And I think that this will require not just a quantitative change, if you will, more physicians, more healthcare workers, but a qualitative change as well. There, we will have to see the development of clinics or separate areas where geriatric patients are seen by people who are trained in geriatric medicine. And probably because of the crush of people coming in, there won't be enough physicians to handle that. We'll be seeing more physicians' assistants, nurse practitioners, I think, screening these people, referring them on to physicians for more complex illnesses. I think geriatric medicine began to make its its place. But I think the real impact is yet to come. But it won't be that long, a decade perhaps.
Do you think the influence of the computer and the digital revolution, the digital age, is allowing people to take more responsibility for their own understanding of their own health and a participant in the healing of whatever malady they might have?
Well, two answers to that. Yes, the person, any person now can learn much more about a given disease process or an epidemiologic process or whatever the issue may be by going online and getting the information. And that can be an enormous benefit. Improving one's knowledge about a topic is always a good thing. The rub comes from where you get your information. If it's from Facebook or tweets from some friend, well, that's usually open to question. If you go to the National Institute of Medicine or the Mayo Clinic, sources like that, you will get you will get very good information. The net of that is it can be very helpful to a patient to know a lot more about his or her disease, and it's also very helpful for the physician-patient interview. If that person comes in with some background information, assuming the diagnosis already is known, some background information, and says, look, I've read about this, but I have these questions, then the physician, then two things happen. The physician hones in on those questions, and the patient learns much more about the malady. And the second thing is the physician-patient bond begins to grow at that time, and that's a very important thing in medicine. That's what makes medicine an art and not a technical exercise. And that's our difficulty now. The 15-minute interview, which is mandated by corporate medicine, is not enough time to develop any sort of bonding with a patient. And the whole thing is a bit of a sterile interview. Not to say that medicine isn't done and diagnosis and treatment aren't done. They are, again, largely because of the technology available. But the human interaction is largely gone from it. And that bothers patients, and I know it. I can tell you for certain it bothers physicians enormously.
One of the benefits, Dr. Marr, over the course of the last quarter of a century and longer, and I'll relate it to my life with an elderly family and now a younger family, is the disappearance of the general practitioner. That man or woman, and I've had two of them over the course of my life, and I still have one, who know their patient. You go back to the same doctor. This individual is able to guide you, but he or she knows the general cause of or the makeup of your medical life history. Do you encourage the continuation of that, though they seem to be disappearing on a more regular basis?
I would definitely encourage that be continued, but I'm not sure that I see how it's possible, and that bothers physicians terribly, as I said, and it's a cause for enormous job dissatisfaction, and the reason why many physicians leave medicine early or go look for second careers. The issue is the corporate nature of the program and the fact that medicine is a for-profit business, which it was never designed to be, but unfortunately it is, and then that brings about the 15-minute patient interview, which is not enough time. Before the entry of large corporations into medicine, the focus of medicine was on the patient, because the time was given, whatever time was necessary, that's how much time was given. It made it more expensive, certainly. Now the patient is more of a product, if you will, of the system, and it's measured. Success is measured by throughput. How many patients do you see per hour? And that's not the same thing as taking care of a patient very well. The structure of the system now, I think, precludes the going back to the kind of interaction you just described. But the paradox is that it's the very kind of interaction that most physicians would like to have.
Yeah, Dr. Mark, do you have enough time that you can stay with us for another short segment?
Sure, be happy to.
Good, because I mean, there's a lot of things that what you have to say I think is extraordinarily valuable. to both our listeners and a source of interest to both Carl and I. What I'm curious about as we move into the next segment is to talk a little bit about the instinctive diagnoses that seemed to be historical rather than what we have today, which is more analytical or clinical, and if, in fact, there is a difference. And that will be the question we'll start with in our next segment.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Dr. Marr is going to stay with us as we continue on with Smith Sabatino. Very, very interesting.
Glad yeah, and again, the book is Fall from Grace by Dr. J. Joseph Marr. Medical doctor.
Fascinating. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. Smith Sabatino, America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. Please stay with us.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star was the consummate role player. His ability to defend, rebound, and score in the clutch won him four titles, three alongside Michael Jordan and one with Shaq and Kobe.
Grant. And he's tied the game. Terrific reaction from Horace Grant.
So where is Horace Grant now? Since hanging up his goggles, Horace has become a full-time dad. He's taken part in basketball clinics around the world, but now he's planning to build a training center where he can pass on his conditioning secrets. Horace is also a staunch defender of Michael Jordan, publicly going against people like Scottie Pippen, who tout Kobe or LeBron skills over MJ.
It was just something about MJ. Six championships, MVPs, plus MJ made everybody around him a lot better.
Horace Grant, what a wingman. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Coming to a stop at only 30 miles an hour, ADM nearly dumped the bike, totally due to just one mischosen article of clothing. Keep the rubber side up. Choose your riding apparel with care. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. My tip-over pants, now used exclusively for fishing and mowing the lawn. Approaching a stoplight at under 30 miles an hour for the first time at 100,000 miles in an attempt to place both feet on the ground simultaneously, my left pant leg hung up on the forward extended shifter, caught just in time. ADM's tip-over pants are now covered with fish scales. Hey, don't be like me. Choose motorcycle riding apparel with care. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road. On two wheels.